And now it's time for Conversations with the Mayors here on 97.9 The Hill. Talking today with Mayor Lydia Lavelle. It is presented by the Chamber for a Greater Chapel Hill Carrboro. Leadership Chapel Hill Carrboro is an intensive program designed to inform, develop, and engage emerging leaders in our area. Registration is open now. You can find more information at carolinachamber.org. As I said, talking with Carrboro Mayor Lydia Lavelle. Mayor Lavelle, how are you doing today?
Good, Brighton. It's great to hear your voice this afternoon.
Yeah, I'm doing my best holding in there for Aaron as he takes a well-deserved day off. It's should be a pretty interesting one as North Carolina opens up phase one here. Hopefully we won't have too much to report on and Aaron won't be missing out too much. But I feel like that's a good place for us to start our conversation. What do you know about how Carrboro's going to be looking as the state and the town enters phase one, I guess, in the next hour?
Right. Well, you know, the governor had another press conference this afternoon at 2 o'clock, and I always try to watch them to hear what he's saying. And just as he said, you know, I think that folks should take this as, you know, a very small step. It's a way to, of course, open up another segment of our economy. You know, the retail segment, the quote, non-essential businesses, although I would argue that every business is essential to someone, right? But you know, that's the major, I guess, big part of this phase one. I noticed, you know, the governor again messaging that still urge people to stay at home, but understanding that people are going to be going out now beyond grocery stores, beyond hardware stores, can go to those local businesses and retail shops that choose to open up this weekend, and kind of recognizing, you know, with Mother's Day and graduations and springtime and really trying to figure out how to kind of move forward in this uncertain economy and uncertain time, it's kind of a good first step. Of course, the other, I guess, part of the order that's a little different in terms of the governor is that state parks will open up. But in Carrboro, we actually have had our parks open this whole time, although the amenities at the parks are closed.
Right, and that's going to be staying closed as well. Are there any specific businesses that you know of that will be opening up, I guess, starting this weekend?
Yeah, I did hear that that probably Carmel Mall, the businesses there, were going to be opening up. I'm not sure. I assume not tonight. I'm assuming this weekend. And, you know, Brighton, earlier this week, I actually kind of went through a list we have of all the businesses in our town to see which ones might fall in that avenue of being able to open up this weekend. And of course, Carmel Mall encompasses quite a few of them. So I imagine that they'll be working on trying to stay within the guidelines of the governor. And then I wanted to mention this to you and to folks who may be tuning in. I'm really appreciative of the efforts of our local chamber and Carrboro Business Alliance and other area economic organizations that put together a really great guide for businesses to reopen. And it's entitled Reopen Your Business, A Guide for Safe Operating. And what they did was they kind of emulated what a lot of cities and towns in the country are doing, you know, kind of giving guidance to businesses as they come back. And, you know, what they should do within their specific businesses in terms of, you know, even things like, you know, how to clean, how to disinfect, what PPE means, what PPE should be worn, you know, kind of guidance around hiring. And then kind of it even goes into more specifics of, for example, if you have, you know, whenever we get to this point with, you know, hair salons and so forth and you know, different industries are even included in this. But just, you know, best practices, I think, that other cities have gone ahead and started to put together. Our local chamber worked really hard on this because once people who own our small businesses in town knew that they could open up, the next question is, okay, well, what should I do? What do I want to do? Because everyone, the big word, of course, out to all the businesses is, you want people to feel safe when they come into your businesses. And so how do you make it as safe as possible and give them that experience so that they aren't afraid to venture out when they need to or when they want to?
Yeah, absolutely. And it sounds like the town is trying to take steps to do that as well. I know at the virtual town council meeting that you guys held earlier in the week, you were considering passing some legislation that is either a strong suggestion or a requirement for residents to be required to wear face coverings or face masks. Can you tell us a little bit more about that?
Sure. Yeah, we had a really good conversation last week around whether, of course, everyone agrees we should wear a face covering. And the question was, a few board members said, should we require face coverings? And so we had a really lengthy discussion about it. Everyone kind of gave their input. I kind of gave the input of the group from emergency management that I worked with every week, as well as the health director. We all know the CDC guidelines, which are continuing to urge face coverings. We know that the governor has come out, governor and Dr. Mandy Cohen this week have really emphasized that more, strongly urge wearing face coverings. The only city in North Carolina that requires them right now is Durham. And I know that, upon speaking with Mayor Scholl, I know one reason that it was required a few weeks ago even was that people just weren't doing it. And so to require it, he said still a lot of people aren't doing it, but it did encourage more people to feel safe doing it or to be encouraged to do it. I have, in the opinion of myself and some other council members, others I've talked to, in Orange County, we're doing a pretty good job wearing face coverings. There's never 100% compliance. And the other reasons, like Dr. Cohen said today in the governor's press conference, some people have breathing issues, asthma issues. There are reasons. Some people, can't hear or need to see facial expressions to understand communication. I mean, there are some, I think, personal type reasons why requiring them, beyond also this is a question of enforcement, right? If someone doesn't have it on, what does that mean? Can they be turned away from a restaurant? Do restaurants have to provide them? What about employees and people working in businesses that aren't required? Can we require them? And then there are health regulations. It gets a little complicated. I think if we, if there's tremendous abuse, I mean, part of what the governor and Dr. Cohen said today was, they would be monitoring this and seeing how the people are adhering to or trying to follow wearing face coverings. But I know in terms of Carrboro, another argument that, was made was, what if we require it and Chapel Hill doesn't or Orange County doesn't, which they weren't having the same discussions. Seems a little odd that one town in Orange County would require it and the others would not. But it is a question I know that is on the minds of different folks. And one thing we can all agree on is they should be worn. And we've actually started a social media campaign. The town of Carrboro has really trying to put out that message of wearing that face covering whenever you are indoors and unable to, maintain that 6-foot social distancing if you're in space where you're not able to do that.
It certainly seems like one of the initial reasons why people might have been hesitant to do it or unable to is truly like sometimes masks are difficult to find, right? Especially the real PPE ones, because those need to be going to our healthcare workers. And I think a lot of people are just unsure, how am I going to do this or what kind of face covering can do this. But certainly state guidance and even guidance from the CDC now is really just saying, hey, any kind of covering that you can get on your face would help. And there are lots of helpful videos out there that can show you how to make it. I think the CDC even has a video doing so.
You're exactly right. And I know that was part of the message being put out in Durham was, look, even a handkerchief or just something to cover your nose, your mouth, right? A lot of organizations are making face coverings, are donating them to groups that might not otherwise have them or even kind of know how to go about making them. And I think, another, education piece around the face coverings, of course, is you wear it so that in case you have the virus, so that in case, you are a carrier and you don't know, it's really to protect others from you, not to protect you from others. And so to wear a face covering is really to be very kind and courteous of everyone else, not really to protect yourself.
Townofcarrboro.org is where you can find out what is happening around the town. And as a matter of fact, there was a pretty big event that happened earlier today. There was a food distribution that the town was partnering with the Eastern or Central North Carolina Food Bank, I believe. Could you tell us a little bit more about that?
Yeah. So that was our first one that we've held in Carrboro in the town. There have been these type of kind of mass food operations in some other locations in the county. As you mentioned today, it was in Carrboro. So I got a little report from our staff person who was familiar with this, and she gave us this report that today we provided 272 households with boxes full of fresh food. Mapleview Farm donated milk. The food pantry delivered the fresh food. There was also actually cat and dog food provided by the Orange County Animal Services for folks that needed that kind of food for their animals. The 12:30 is when the distribution began. Folks started showing up at 9 a.m. and there was a steady stream of families from 12:30 until 2:15. Again, as you said, it was coordinated by Orange County Emergency Operations and DSS, Departments of Social Services and Public Health. There were volunteers from the fire, police, and public works departments, and National Guard community volunteers also helped. It was really a great collaborative effort to feed our community.
I know that they're really needed right now. Aaron was speaking with Debbie Horowitz of Porch, and there's a food distribution that happens, I believe, on Wednesdays every week or every other week that is very much along these lines. And, I mean, the traffic was backed up all the way to the intersection of East Franklin and South Estes because so many people were lined up to go to the Chapel Hill Public Library where it was happening. I mean, I imagine that it was a pretty big deal in Carrboro too, but Carrboro United has also helped take care of that too. There have been a bunch of different food initiatives in Carrboro specifically that have been able to help some people out.
Yeah, it's been, it's really interesting to see all the different groups that have kind of come together to address the need. And under our EOC, this Emergency Operations Center that we've had that's, you know, been operating during this whole pandemic, there is a human services task force under which, you know, kind of food falls. And so our staff member, Rebecca Buzzard, has been giving us, you know, weekly updates of their efforts to coordinate all these distributions and to make sure that, you know, people who need food know where it can be, making sure it's being delivered properly throughout the towns and the county. And the thing is, you know, Brighton, I mean, it's been challenging because there's been some food supply interruption, you know, some logistical, you know, differences. The way that food, you know, has kind of traditionally come is a little different now with, you know, restaurants being closed, for example. Don't know yet. This is just me thinking, you know, what the implication might be with some of the food plants, some of the issues there. But it certainly requires a concerted effort and good communication to make certain that anyone who needs food can know where to go and get some food.
Absolutely. So townofcarrboro.org to find out more information on when more food distribution events through the town will be happening. Is there anything else that you want to highlight that's going on around downtown?
Yeah, one thing quick I wanted to say about the food distribution was to make sure folks know that food distribution wasn't necessarily through the town, but it was as part of this overall effort of kind of moving those big distributions throughout the county. And so I inquired actually if we knew if there would be another one in, you know, if there would be another one in Carrboro anytime soon. And, you know, the answer I kind of got was it would be evaluated and we would see, you know, kind of go from there to see, you know, when the next one might be.
I see.
So again, the deal is it kind of moves around equitably.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So one other thing I wanted to just mention, well, first of all, I'm not sure, I wasn't listening to your show right before I got on, but the SC's Greensboro, do you know the SC's Greensboro intersection is open now?
Oh, no, I did not. It is still marked off on the traffic map as being closed. So that is an important distinction. Breaking news.
Yeah. Breaking news. We got I got an email, I believe, right before we went on the air that they thought it'd be open today by 5 o'clock, but indeed it's already open. So just wanted to go ahead and put that out there.
That's great news.
And then the last thing I wanted to, the other item I had, I wanted to be sure to mention to you was, we were supposed to have this exhibit called She Changed the World. It's put on by the National Organization for Women. We were supposed to have it on display at our Carrboro Century Center or Town Hall or somewhere during this month. And, of course, you know, none of us were there to see it. And so we put it virtually on our webpage. And so if folks would go to the Town of Carrboro webpage, again, it's called She Changed the World, a virtual exhibition. And what it was a really beautiful effort by the local chapter to recognize women in our county who are, I guess, you know, carrying the banner of being just, you know, fabulous women who changed the world. It's in part to commemorate the 100th anniversary of you know, the right to vote for women, the United States Constitution, the 19th Amendment. But the display, you know, what will you do to change the world? The members of the Chapel Hill and Durham chapters of the National Organization for Women picked out 10 women who they highlighted. And so if folks go to our website, you can click on it and see pictures of these beautiful posters that they made of 10 different women and a little bit about them and how they changed the world. And I think people will see some very familiar faces if they scroll through there. I kind of, maybe I'll just leave that as a little teaser, but I'll just throw out who, and these are people who have been around and done great work over the years. I'll just throw out one of them is our own Neris Levy. So she's in there. But again, people will recognize, I think, all these women and be interested to read about their efforts toward you know, justice and equality and advancement for women.
Townofcarborough.org is the website to go to for that exhibit and plenty more on the town of Carborough. Carborough Mayor Lydia Lavelle, thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you, Brighton.